The following program was previously recorded and is sponsored by Danny Yamashiro Ministries. This is 99.5 The Word.
Aloha and welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here. Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose, offering perspectives of hope through Jesus Christ. How did God bring together one of Hawaii's premier Bible teachers and a nurse who served in pediatric critical care? This is the story of Dr. James and Aya Kwong. It's a story that includes a Baptist church in Houston and the Tenrikyo Temple in Honolulu. Two people who were influenced by the gospel at a young age. They dedicated themselves to Jesus Christ and developed their God-given abilities to serve people with the gospel through intentional ministries of discipleship. We pause here, as we typically do at the beginning of our show, to remind you the reason we have the Good Life radio program is quite simple. Dear friend, it's to lead you closer and closer to Jesus Christ. For you to know that whatever you might be facing right now, however tough things might seem to be, there is always hope in Jesus. Always hope in Jesus. In Jesus who loves you so much, he died on the cross for your sins. He shed his precious blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And today, the living Christ, who has touched the heart of Dr. James and Aya Kwong, reaches out to you. But here's the thing. What will you do? How will you respond? Will you turn from your way to God's way? Will you surrender your brokenness, your sins, your sorrows, and put even your dreams and place them in the hands of God? In other words, will you repent of your sins and turn to God? That is our prayer. The beginning of new life awaits, dear one. Dr. James Kwong earned his Doctor of Ministry and Master of Divinity degrees from Talbot School of Theology. Prior to that, he graduated from the University of Hawaii and went to high school at Punahou. Aya earned her RN and works at a local children's hospital. Dr. Kwong mentors college men through CRU and teaches classes for the Bible Institute of Hawaii. Aya is a worship leader at Kalihi Union Church. They have two daughters, Aaliyah and Eleni. Dr. James and Aya, welcome to our show.
Thank you, Dr. Danny.
Thank you.
Aya, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Honolulu. My parents are from Japan. They met in Honolulu and got married, and I was born here.
James? Where did you grow up?
I was born in Houston, Texas. My parents actually met in Hawaii, but then my dad's from Sacramento, my mom's from Honolulu, so they ended up moving back to Sacramento after they got married. And then for business, my dad traveled with his brother to Houston to work in grocery business. So my parents had me, and I was born in Houston, Texas.
Okay, born in Houston, you went to Punahou, but how long were you there in Texas before
sure.
you... Came back to Hawaii.
Stayed in Houston until I was 14, and I finished eighth grade year. And the summer between eighth grade and ninth grade year, we moved to Hawaii.
How did you become a Christian? James?
Actually, I was grew up in the church, so I went to Second Baptist Church. I also went to the school there in Houston, and my parents had determined that they wanted to send me to a Christian school from early on, so from first grade on. And I was in church hearing the gospel message, knew about the Bible. We were taught the Bible, Southern Baptist school, so a lot of teaching about who God is and what the gospel's about. And when I was in the third grade, I remember very clearly being in the worship service. And every week they would actually give an altar call and, call people to come down and profess faith in Jesus. And I remember being in the third grade. And in the church we were at, it was a pretty big church. They had maybe 1,000 people sitting on the first floor. And they had two balconies in this building, about 1,000 people on each balcony. I think something like that. Or maybe it may have been 3,000. I don't know. It was a big, big church. I mean, we sat in the fourth floor. And it was kind of like, I heard the call to go forward, but as a little kid, it's like, there's no way I'm going down there. That's scary. First of all, you have to go down all these stairs, and then you go by yourself. I'm not going to go by myself. No way. So they called people down there, and they, prayed, and they take them for some counseling time on the side. And I thought, well, I'm just sitting here. But the pastor prayed after that, and he said, even if you didn't come down here, if you know in your heart that Jesus has died for your sins and you want to choose to give your life to Christ, then you also are saved. And I understood. He was talking right to me. And I was like, okay, that's me. And I knew I was saved at that moment right there. I knew a lot about God from being in the school and the church, but I knew that was my first time I can remember making a decision for Christ. Mm. Yeah.
Aya, what about you? Your journey of faith.
I grew up going to the Tendikyo temple with my parents every New Year's. And I remember going there at a young age and just wondering, what is this? It just seemed far and empty, but that was the thing we did with our family. So we went there, and it was just once a year we went. And at that time they had the bazaar and they had food and activities and mochi, and then summer before freshman year of high school, I was invited to a Youth for Christ volleyball practice, and I had no idea what that was. I grew up not knowing anything about Jesus, not knowing what the real meaning of Christmas or Easter was, and it was that evening when I was 14 that I heard the gospel for the first time, and I accepted the Lord into my heart. And I remember feeling so like, this is it, this is what I've been looking for. This is real. This God that died for me is real, and this love is amazing.
Such a pivotal time for both of you. I mean, James, there's a third grader for you to be thinking and processing. And then now, as a man, reflecting back, pivotal time. And I can just sense that as you speak. Who would you say influenced you most in your growing up years?
For me, it would be probably when I first moved to Hawaii, it would be my Sunday school teacher at Kalihi Union Church. His name is Michael Shima. And eventually he ended up inviting me to do discipleship with some other guys at church. And I spent almost four years just following him around in ministry and doing things with him. And, he would challenge me to do ministry on my campus at Punahou. We didn't have a campus presence for Youth for Christ there. And I always felt at the school it was very dark spiritually. But he would encourage me to pray for other Christians, invite people. That's actually how my best friend Arlen became a Christian. It's because we invited him out to some church events and Youth for Christ events. And then after a year of praying for him, he became a Christian.
Arlen Nagata.
Yep. And we served on campus doing, as a students, right? Just trying to live as good examples for Christ and share the gospel with people. It was kind of a crazy journey, but I would say Michael was probably my first real mentor, discipler during those years. Really, really critical to my formation as a Christian.
Yes. Aya?
If For me, it would be my discipler, Lori Yamamoto. She would pick me up for church every Sunday, all throughout high school, and take me to church and then campus life. It was like kind of like youth group, and also like kind of a midweek Bible study thing. And she would just spend a lot of time pouring into my life and a few other young women, young ladies, and teach us from the very beginning about the Lord, how He loves us, what it means to be a Christian, what it means to love the Lord, what it means to have a changed life. She really poured out many years, many late nights, many miles of gas, I'm sure, to drive us girls around and just spend time. Yeah.
I'm thinking about Lori and Michael, these two who left an indelible impression on both of you and the way that they nurtured you early on as you were forming as believers in Jesus Christ. And fast forward to the work that you're doing today, the ministry that both weighs heavy because of responsibility, but also lifts you with joy because of the joy of the relationships and the discipleship that you provide for those that God has placed in your life. I'm speaking to, and you're listening to, Dr. James and Aya Kwong. These are dear friends. I've known them for many years. My wife, Jamie, and I have known them for many years. We've appreciated their love for others, their faithfulness to God. When we come back, you're going to hear more. You see, because life in Christ indeed really is a journey. And there are ups and downs, ebbs and flows in the journey of life, the journey of faith. They're members of Kalihi Union Church. You can find out more about the ministry of Kalihi Union Church that they both are participating in at kalihiunion.org. Stay with us. We'll be back with more Heart to Heart with you, dear one, from Dr. James and Aya Kwong.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kayani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Dr. James and Aya Kwong join us today. Before our break, they were talking about how they came to faith in Jesus Christ, and part of the marvel is how the Lord works, the gospel works and permeates the hearts of people individually. And as you listen today, are you aware that the Lord himself is working in your life? You can find out more about the church they're a part of, Kalihi Union Church, at kalihiunion.org. Dr. Kwong serves as the student services coordinator at Kamaki Christian School. That's the equivalent of the SAC in public schools. He also teaches math, Algebra 1, and Bible. Isn't that an incredible combination, math and the scriptures? Oh, Dr. James Kwong here for you. Well, thanks for joining us. If you're tuning in right now, maybe caught the tail end of the last segment, look, you can get this program in its entirety. Just go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. It's available for you. Free podcast. Go ahead and share it with a family member or friend. The question, how did the Lord bring the two of you together? Aya, you get first dibs.
James and I met through Youth for Christ, Hawaii. And that was kind of like Bible clubs, youth group, in the public and private school setting. And we would see each other all the time. We just knew who each other was.
We were part of a pretty large group of young people our age. And looking back on it, it was actually pretty unique. Great to be with friends with so many young people who shared Christ in common, no matter what school we went to. So we get to see each other. I was part of the Moanalua campus life first, and then as part of the private school campus life after that. And what actually brought us together was our good friend Lane Morikawa was the director for Kaiser Campus Life, and he got called to go serve full-time with Young Life on the Big Island. And when he left, the Kaiser Campus Life didn't have their director. And so Mike Palompa, who's pastor at New Hope Central Oahu, he kind of brought both the private school campus life club and the Kaiser Club together under one roof. It was actually at Andrew Hongo's house, and we met in Manoa, and that's where we were kind of together. Because I went to Punahou, and she went to Kaiser, and we got to do things together and see each other. So I used to lead some of the skit times, and then she would be in some of the skits, and I thought, oh, we'll ask this person, Aya, to be in one of the skits. And so she was in this. We cast her in an opening skit for one of the club meetings. I thought, oh, she's good at this. This is great. In fact, I don't know if you remember, Aya, but you were the red herring. That was your first responsibility. You came in, kept saying, and he asked, who are you? And you said, I'm the red herring. And you did it so well. I thought, this girl is cute.
I don't remember.
But Youth for Christ is the first
one. She was shaking her head.
What kind of crazy skit is this?
And then later, I was dating James's friend, who is a very good friend to this day. We're dear friends with them. But he said he remembers saying, who's this girl sitting in the front seat? That's my seat.
Well, I didn't drive, so he would pick me up, and then I would ride shotgun, because that's the best friend's seat. And then here's this girl in my seat. I had to get in the back seat, Danny. It was, who is this? And then I learned later, oh, he's dating her. Oh, who is this girl? Can't believe it.
So how did things change? How did you end up having her in your front seat?
Sure. Well, at that time, we were seniors, my best friend and I. And then after we graduated, he went to the mainland. And then, I was still here at University of Hawaii. And so, that relationship kind of didn't last that long. And so later on, when Aya came to the University of Hawaii 2 years later, that's when we started developing a stronger friendship, because we knew who each other were, and we would hang out together, and we'd do things together. And actually, it was serving through Youth for Christ's college ministry. It was actually an experiment that they were doing called Leadership College. And I ended up serving as like the student body president, the club president, and then she was actually the vice president. It was peer voted, and so we actually learned to grow together through mutual suffering. A lot of trials.
A lot of shared ministry.
Yeah.
Even through a democratic process.
That's right. That the group of us, the 24, there was 24 in that group, and we all had to vote, and then they voted me and they voted her as the, I guess, president and vice president.
So when did things grow deeper?
It was during that year. It was definitely during that year, and we started doing a lot of ministry together. We weren't just doing college campus ministry. we were also both involved in youth groups in our churches. And we go, you know, I was at Kalihi Union Church serving as youth staff at that time. And then, you know, we would do Youth for Christ, you know, teen ministry too. So we were like, we saw each other at two or three different you know, environments. And we started, you know, we were also in school. So I would walk her to class. I remember, do you remember when your grandmother had passed away? And you were crying. I just sat with you outside your class. And it was like one of those special times where I could comfort her, and she was very dear to me. And that she was in that we were in that process of building that relationship there. It was in March though of that year where we were doing this overnighter with multiple churches together, where we kind of had that DTR moment, determine the relationship. And I was kind of asking her questions. We were close friends, you know.
We were very good friends.
I was thinking about becoming a teacher. Would you be okay, Aya, marrying somebody who doesn't make a lot of money? That was important to me. Had to figure that out, right? And she said, "Yeah,
sure, yes."
Little did I know later that, you know, she would become a nurse and make much more than money than I would as a teacher. But it's all good, right? She was willing. She was okay with that ministry. Maybe I go into ministry someday. Who knows, right? Would you be willing to marry a pastor or a teacher or something like that? And she was. So I kind of, check that off the list.
So it's good to get those things clear from the get-go.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
It was that overnight where I kind of thought, okay, this is definitely something. But we actually went back to our disciplers at the time and said, what do you think? You know, and had this expectant look. What do you think? You know? And they kind of said, well, are you ready to get married? You know, they asked me, am I ready to get married? I thought, you know, I'm not really ready to get married yet. And I said, I don't really know calling or direction or those kind of important things, right? And he said, well, maybe you should wait a year to kind of let God explain that to you. What are you going to do with your life? Where are you going to go so that you can kind of have that in place before you start that relationship? So I said, yeah, that's a good plan. So I called, I said, I think we should wait a year. And of course, she was not very excited about that. What did you say? You're like, what? Okay. What? Kind of reluctant.
Well, where was the reluctance coming from?
I think in my heart, I knew that I cared deeply for James. We didn't say, like, I love you, but I cared deeply. And the thought of waiting, I didn't want to wait, you know?
What I learned later is that waiting in the beginning rather than starting something and then, you know, having the wisdom to know that if it start the relationship but you're not ready to get married, then there's a period of time there where there's temptation, and we wanted to kind of resolve, are we called to be married, or am I ready to get married, am I ready to start that relationship now? Waiting in the front end is easier than having to wait later, because when you're close and you want it to, you know, we want the relationship to get closer, but you can't. That's a lot of pain. So we learned that wisdom, but it was hard in the beginning. So we waited a year.
It was hard to emotionally withhold things because we were such good friends. We're like best friends.
Yeah.
In the you know, in the brother sister way.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Well, when did you get the green light from the Lord, and how did the Lord?
Sure. After that year, I went back and I said, "It's been a year. What do you think?" I asked my disciple. He said, did you check off these other things? Calling, direction? You said, no. And he said, well, you should wait another year. Oh, in my heart, right? I'm like, oh. So I called her up, said, I think we should wait another year. She was not happy.
I said, okay, well, I need to take a break.
Yeah, it was like a couple months later.
I need to emotionally I think I had to cut it off at that time. My heart was so, I was just ready to give my heart to James. And I was like, the thought of waiting, I just need a break. We'd see each other so much throughout the week, and it hurt. So I said, you know, I need a break. And during that time, I made some really unwise decisions and started dating another guy.
She called me to let me know, to get closure. I said, we didn't start anything. You need closure?
I need closure.
It was a Thursday. It was October.
No.
You know?
So I started dating this other guy, and it really was unwise decisions. And
it was a tough time.
It was a tough time, and just in that relationship,
Take your time.
Just made a lot of unwise decisions in my heart, giving my heart to this other guy, and some physical regrets also. And our youth group leaders, my discipler at that time, for him and for me, they called us on this and said, you guys are, this relationship doesn't honor the Lord. And we totally broke up, and that was a very hard summer. And I said, you know what, Lord, enough of dating, enough of guys. I don't want this. I said, I'm going to take 1 year and just give it to the Lord, totally undistracted. And it was during that time where I felt God was healing my heart and getting to know the Lord in a different way. And then James calls me out of the blue and says, hey, our friend is in town. Do you wanna hang out with him? I said, sure. But that was the 1 week where my car was in the shop. I said, I need a ride. He goes, oh, okay, I'll pick you up. So he picked me up and we saw our friend. And on the way to work, he was dropping me off. I worked at the old Jamba Juice at Ward at the time, trying to get into nursing school. And he said, how are you and
such and
the
such.
Other guy? And I said, oh, we broke up. And he goes,
really?
Really? And he turned to me and said,
oh, would you be interested in courtship, you know?
And I was like, what?
I was ready. I was busting that out.
Wait, I can't believe you just asked to court me when you found out I just broke up with this guy?
I'm not that kind of guy. I don't
know. And then he said, well, what happened with you and him? And I said, oh, I'm not telling you. You're a guy.
I actually asked, if I go in and buy a Jamba Juice, will you tell me?
And I said, no. No, I'm not telling you. And then things settled down. And then he just said, I just want to let you know that for the past,
it's like 2.5 years,
2-3 years that I've cared about you. And
you have to realize, like, that whole time since that October, I said I'm gonna get ready to get married. Next time I go talk to my disciple, it's not gonna be wait another year. We're gonna get this thing on. We're gonna figure this stuff out. So I said I'm gonna figure out my direction, figure out my calling. I got a job. I was working as a teacher already. I was thinking, okay, this is good. I have a job. That was one of the things. Direction was the next, and I ended up going to work for Youth for Christ after that, trying to figure out if ministry might be a calling. And then as soon as I checked the last one off my list, I said, okay, I'm ready to get married. I can start a relationship. And I looked around, there's no girls. I said, God, what are you doing to me? There's no one available, no one's around. And so that's why when I found out she was maybe available, I was like, oh, I sat up. I was like, okay, let's go, you know. Let's start something here. Let's see if the something's there. And so I was kind of like looking for that.
The hand of God.
It was.
The timing of the Lord through life. You're listening to Dr. James and Aya Kwong. When we come back, it was a year. It was a memorable year, the year 2003, for a number of reasons that they will share. It included some travel. Some transition. It included a change that no one ever wants to go through. And it included an opportunity for both to expand, to grow. Are you in a pivotal time in your life? Are you at a place where you have to wait and your heart is broken? Or you're waiting and you're filled with anticipation? Dr. James and Aya will share more when they come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup, I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special
guests. So it was a big
guests.
Year, the year 2003 for James and Aya Kwong. And they're going to talk about the many things that happened during that time. But before our break, you will remember how they were waiting, praying, frustrated, trying new things, because their hearts were, in a way, longing for each other. But the timing was not right. But then the timing did become right. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here, Dr. James and Aya Kwong. You can find out more about the ministry, their church, at kalihiunion.org. Remember, Dr. James is he does work as the Student Services Coordinator, SAC, in the public school terminology, teaching math and Bible at Kamaki Christian School. Take us to the year 2003. Aya, what happened?
We were married March 2003. Rewind a little, we were courting for...
We started the courtship on April 7th. We were at HIM. After HIM, God was telling you through the senior pastor's wife, actually, that maybe this was that whole 1 year not dating guys thing was maybe not of the Lord. Maybe it was more of an Aya thing. And
so I was challenged, do you feel that God did in your heart what he wanted to do to heal your heart? And I said, I do. I do feel like God did. I was a different person. And so my senior pastor's wife said, then what's the whole 1 year thing about? I said, well, that's what I told the Lord. I told the Lord 1 year, I need to finish it. And she said, you know, don't get so caught up in the 1 year thing. If you really felt that the Lord did in your heart what he wanted to, then what's stopping you? And I so gave that up to the Lord, and we started courting. And
April 7th.
And we were courting for...
About 6 months.
6 months, and then engaged for 3 months, and we were married March 2003.
Three. Got married in March, and then we moved to the mainland so I could go to grad school at Biola at Talbot School of Theology in August. And then that was the next... 2 months later, that's when...
2 months later, I got a call from my mom, and she said... Daddy didn't show up to work, and she went home to check on him, and she called me, and she said, he's cold. And I said, Mom, you need to call 911 right now. And she said, I did, and she's frantic. And I said, you need to go out to the street, because they lived in a house in the back, a little hard to find. She said, okay, I'll call you right back. And within minutes, I was talking to paramedic, and he said, I'm sorry, he's cold, he's gone. And I remember sitting there at the table like, what just happened? I need to get on a flight. I need to go home right now.
He had suffered a aneurysm, brain aneurysm.
He had a cerebral aneurysm and...
was unexpected.
Very unexpected. He didn't show up for work. That day, my mom went home to check on him. And it breaks my heart that she found him. So I was able to fly home that day and be with my family. It was a very hard and dark time. My father didn't know the Lord. By that time, I was a Christian for about 10 years and prayed for my parents to know the Lord, and he died not knowing the Lord, to my knowledge, and being very brokenhearted. And after the brokenheartedness and the sadness became, there came a lot of anger. Like, Lord, I prayed for him for 10 years. Why didn't you take me instead? It's not fair. Why didn't you take me? I wish he had more time. I wish he had more time to make a decision for the Lord. But he died. And the next few years in California was very dark for me. I started my career as a nurse in the pediatric ICU. I think I just poured my life into that. There was a lot of stress as a nurse in the pediatric ICU. We saw a lot of horrible things, things that children have to suffer through. But I just poured my work into that. And it was during that time where I stopped leading worship. I stopped singing. And I was just really sad. And I remember James saying, "Do you want to go home? We can just move home. We'll just move home." I said, "You know, I don't want to regret 10, 20 years from now. You didn't finish going to seminary," because I couldn't, in my words, suck it up for a few years in California. And I said, "No, we're going to stay here and you're going to finish school." And it was during those years that one day I just said, "Lord, I'm done being angry. I'm done being depressed and hurt. And I don't understand why he died. But I don't have to understand, because I will never understand. Your ways are not my ways, and you are Lord, and just giving that up to you and surrender those feelings of being angry and upset. And I know that God is sovereign. God is good. Even when we go through the darkest valley and we don't understand what's happening, the Lord is good. The Lord is still working."
I want to come back to this, to you, because I think this is, I feel this is such a tender moment because of uncertainty and faith. You're moving forward. Well, I want to know what brought you to that place? You were in such darkness, mm-hmm. in such despair. How did you come to this place where you said, "I'm going to trust God"?
Well, by that time, I had known the Lord for about a little more than 10 years. And just because one horrible thing happens in your life, that doesn't discount God's goodness and God's faithfulness from the past at all. And I intentionally remembered, like, what God did for us, how he brought us together, how he provided for us in California. I was starting my career as a nurse. He was working as a youth pastor job, and we had no money. These checks would come in the mail from people at church that had no idea. And the Lord provided. That's one way the Lord provided.
It was crazy time.
That's the same Lord that I grew up getting to know as a high schooler, as a college student, and now newly married. That was God's faithfulness. I just had to recall that to mind. God is faithful, even when we're not faithful, even when we forget. And I just said, you know, I'm done being angry. I'm done feeling sorry for myself, and I'm going to move forward. And I don't want this, these feelings of just being sad. I don't want to wallow in that anymore. No.
It was almost like an exact year afterwards. I remember because we were, you know, I'm still serving in church, and Aya told me after church one Sunday, "I could sing today." And that was like huge. It was huge because just being able to open your mouth and praise the Lord, it had been such a hard year. And she just told me after church, like, that was the you know, it happens, you know, going through that grief process and getting back to God, it took a long time. But I remember it was like a year after she should just get back and to sing to the Lord again. It was huge. Like, I was so excited because as a husband, right, I'm thinking like, man, there's nothing I can do for her. I'm helpless here. I can only be available and just be ready and pray for her and encourage her. But it's between her and God. I can only be here as a cheerleader, a helper, or whatever I can do. But it felt like in some respects, there wasn't a lot I could do. But God just said, just keep praying for her, keep being faithful, do what you have to do and be ready. And I got to see her go through that process. It wasn't until we actually moved back to Hawaii, though, that I think I was able to go through and kind of finish that grief process, because it was tough. Every time we go back to visit, you think about it again, and it was, you know, it was difficult coming back.
And you said you were willing to come home.
Yeah.
If she wanted to.
Whatever she needed, you know. If we needed to go home, we'll go home. And we even came up with a plan, remember? We'll sell the car, we'll use it to buy a plane ticket, and we'll just go home. You know, we had no money. So figure out something.
It's touching, James and Aya. Touching in that you love your wife so much that even the opportunity to study at a seminary like Talbot School of Theology, some people dream about those moments, but you're willing to give that up. But also you, Aya, his love for you, but your love for the Lord and your love for him, and say, no, we're going to stay and finish. I don't want you to go back, look back 10, 20 years from now, and you didn't finish. This is...
And we're at that place now. We've been married for 19 years. So to say, oh yeah, 20 years from now, I don't want you to regret that. We're there now, and don't have any regrets. I'm glad we were faithful to the Lord and did what he was calling us to do at that time.
And the rich and depth of ministry, richness of depth of ministry that you have had. These are things that you cannot just read in a book. The things that you've experienced together, coming to what seems like dead ends, and then seeing the Lord guide you through that supernaturally by faith. Seeing his hand move is an encouragement and an inspiration. And now he went back and finished his doctorate and did his research and wrote his dissertation and project that is going to become something that will touch even more people. We're getting a little bit more of the full picture. When we come back from our break, James and I want to talk about what I want you to share what God is doing in your lives now. The discipleship ministries you have, that's vast. And the ministries that you're involved in, touching people with the love of Christ. It means so much more when you hear the layers of texture that the Lord worked through, developed, massaged, in your heart, in your mind, in your soul. My friend, as you listen to James and Aya Kwong, what kind of layers are being massaged in your soul, even in this moment that might seem difficult? Stay with us. We'll be back with more.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
So, Dr. James and Aya, well, they returned home after James became a newly minted MDiv, graduating from Talbot School of Theology, and Aya became a nurse. They devoted themselves to ministry, young people, worship, teaching. They also grew as parents. James worked at Faith Christian Fellowship, at Kalihi Union Church, Kamaki Christian School. He even coached basketball at Hawaii Baptist Academy. Let's talk about ministry today. How has the Lord prepared you now as parents to Aaliyah and Eleni? How has the Lord brought all those things together 20 years later in marriage for the ministry you have today? Talk to us about discipleship.
I think one of the first things we kind of came up with as far as ministry and being parents, especially when I was serving as a pastor at Faith Christian Fellowship, I was the admin guy for Alton, and I felt God really saying,
Pastor Alton Uwema.
That's right. He said, I mean, God was telling me, you know, I was reading through Timothy and Titus, that elder pastor, you know, is called to be a shepherd of the church, really should be maybe a little older, and good stewards of their family, you know, able to manage their household well, as the text says. And I thought, I really should step out of pastoral ministry for a little while. I think God's calling me to do that so that my, you know, your kids go through that fishbowl experience as pastor's kids. And I wanted to not have to be on call or out of the house all the time. I had attended a HIM session with Jim Burns. He had suggested, be home when your kids are home. Be, you know, be with them, be around them. Don't just be an absent father. And I wanted to make sure I was at home as much as possible. So I stepped out of the ministry. Pastor Alton encouraged me, maybe you should go look into schools again, teach. And that's what I did. God provided a job at Kaimuki Christian. And so I've been serving in the school, doing ministry at the school, right? But then I'm at home. And my primary ministry is to my children, to my wife, to my family. And God may call me back into ministry, pastoral ministry later. But first call is to minister to my children. But while I'm doing school, I'm also, you know, I have these pastoral training. I try to use it in any way, shape, and form I can. You know, use the tools or they get dull, right? Got to keep the sword
That's
sharp.
That's right. Keep it sharp.
So whenever I have a chance to preach, guest preach or teach or counsel or disciple, I look for those opportunities and we make it happen. So, for example, I mentor men, college guys through Crew. I meet with two guys actually right now. And everything, all the lessons we learned when we were in college, we get to kind of pour into other guys and be able to share with them. And this is what I learned. And, you know, you take them through scripture, but it's more life on life. They get to ask questions, you know, find out what's really going on. I get to kind of pass that to the next generation. I get to teach Sunday school at church. Aya leads worship with Lane Furukawa, and he's the worship minister there. And then she gets to be part of that team and help lead other people in worship. I get to teach Sunday school to adults. This is my first time teaching adults, actually, in the last couple of years. Usually I just teach youth, right, or children. Teaching adults is actually really interesting. It's actually pretty transferable because you want to teach something that's very simple, very easy to understand, help people understand what God says in the Word. So I'm taking a joy in that. That's something new for me. And teaching for Bible Institute of Hawaii has been an opportunity where I get to, and especially through the pandemic, now I do it over Zoom, right? And teaching people and reaching, I actually have had students from West Coast, Japan, all in my class at the same time. It kind of works out, and being able to help people understand God's Word better. Just a couple of the things that God's been allowing us to do while I'm at home, you know, with my family.
Yes. And Aya, your ministry.
I serve on the worship team at Kalihi Union, and it's really been an answer to prayer growing in that role, singing and playing guitar and helping to lead worship, lead others in worship. It was something that I really enjoyed as someone in my 20s before we got married, and then I just, you know, stopped all that when my dad died. And as God has really grown me in my faith, and to be able to go back to that, just step into that role again, has been great. When I'm leading worship, I really believe that the Lord says to me, this is where I want you now, you know. And it's taken a little while to get there, but that's okay. Just being faithful to the Lord and what He wants you to do, I think, is very important.
James, we have a few minutes, 3.5 minutes or so. Will you pray for our listener, someone who may be going through an unexpected change in life, maybe even heartbreak, that kind? And then James, transitions that someone might be going through right now, if you can pray toward that end for our dear listener. Aya, please.
Dear Lord, I pray for that brother or sister that's going through a difficult time. Lord, they may feel that their world is falling apart around them. And Lord, help them to see that you are right there with them, that you are carrying them in your arms, that you've never ever left them for one second. Lord, speak to their heart right now of your great love for them, and help them to surrender their life to you.
Father, we thank you for the opportunity we just have to share a story and give you the glory, God. We pray for people who are in transition, people who are maybe looking at life is changing and not sure exactly what to expect next. God, we pray that you would give them first peace to know that you're in control, and that, you know, we may not know everything, but you do, and we can trust you. You are trustworthy. We pray that you would help us to seek others who can give us wisdom and who can we can share the burden with. And pray that you would send somebody to us, God, who, if we're in transition and don't see exactly where to go and what to do, surround us with brothers and sisters who are godly, who will give us counsel. And just pray that we would continue to trust you through any circumstance, because you're the one who sustains us, and you're the one who provides us. And we've seen that in our lives. So we ask, God, a blessing on anyone who is in transition. Yes. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. When you think of, as a parting shot, when you think of Aaliyah and Eleni, what springs up in your heart?
man, it's only going to be like 5 years before Aaliyah graduates from high school. It's so scary. Eleni's birthday is today, the day we're recording this. We're excited for her. She's
Eleni's eight. Eleni's eight and just very joyful and loves others. Aaliyah's 12 and in that transition period of middle school, trying to find herself. And I hope that as a parting shot here, one day they can grow up and look back and say like, oh, our parents really loved God. Mm. And I hope that they just grow in their faith to love the Lord even more and that they would experience the Lord in a deep and special way, the way we've been able to.
Yeah.
James and I, you are heart people, heart to heart. And I thank you. Thank you for being with us today.
Thank you, Danny.
Thank you.
You're listening to Dr. James and Aya Kwong, life-giving words. And by the way, Dr. Kwong has a very rich and resonating voice. That's a gift from God. KalihiUnion.org. My friend, God's timing is perfect. And there's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, look, we believe this might be that perfect moment for you to open your heart to Jesus Christ. Would you do that? Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com. I've got a special video I've prepared for you there. If you'd like to stand with us with your prayers, your support to make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click donate. And I thank you in advance. Psalm 62, verse 5. Yes, my soul, find rest in God. My hope comes from Him. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Dr. James and Aya Kwong, KalihiUnion.org. Until next time, along with my technical producer, Chaz Ontai, and web designer, Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.